Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, and just briefly this morning, about having a growing desire, a growing desire. And what do I mean by a growing desire? I mean two things. I mean having a desire to grow, but within also within your heart. So one aspect is the desire to grow, but also that within yourself is a growing desire in some key areas within your life. And so we're talking about having a growing desire. You would have got a little bookmark when you came in. You can follow that along. And keep those when you're in a home group. Maybe get one person each week in a home group. We used to do that in a home group. The one person will bring it out. And we'll just share something of where God spoke to them from that. Maybe home group leaders, maybe that's something you may want to put in your home group. It always worked well and to do that. So first of all, a question is that do you want to grow? Because we're in this year, do you want to grow? And now I've got three responses here that possibly that people can have. One is that I would like to grow. Yeah, that'd be all right. Get to them. Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, to have grown in God. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like to grow. I really would. That'd be nice to get to the end of the year. And I've actually grown in God. I'm actually a better person in God. I'm more Christ-like. Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, that would be good. And some people may think that way. Other people may say, yeah, I want to grow. No, I want to grow. Yeah, I want to. I really want to. I really want to grow. But wanting to grow is not enough, because you won't grow just if you think it's going to be nice so you want to. But you will grow if you're the person who says, I'm going to make every effort to grow. I'm going to make every effort to grow. I'm going to do that. With the devastation of the bushfires, it's amazing how many of the politicians got up with our Prime Minister, then each of the Premiers. They actually played them on the radio one after another. They didn't all make the speeches at the same time. Some in Parliament, some in media releases, some wherever they've been interviewed or whatever. But every single one of them at some stage, the national Prime Minister to each of the state premiers, all made statements along the lines of, we're going to rebuild this, whatever it takes, we're going to rebuild. Whatever it is, whatever it takes. We're going to restore these communities, we're going to rebuild this community, whatever it takes. And I pray that that is in fact a real statement. It's not political rhetoric, it's something they're actually going to do. But those words of whatever it takes, and I pray that that's something that's in your hearts, whatever it takes, I'm going to make every effort to grow. Because it doesn't happen by accident. What Pastor Pat has put on the front of the newsletter, it was excellent. Don't read it now, read it later. It's excellent. But it doesn't just happen. You won't just get to the end of the year and spontaneously have grown. You need to make every effort to grow. So do you really want to grow this year? And there's a scary scripture in Matthew 24. It's talking about the end of the times, the end age. And we believe that we are in the end age, exactly what that means. Well, we don't know whether the Lord's coming back tomorrow, but he's coming back within this generation. Every generation needs to live and live its life as if Christ was coming back very soon. And we have a sense that we have with all the things perhaps Christ is coming soon, and certainly he's coming back. His return is certainly closer today than it was yesterday or the day before. Christ is coming back. There's a sense of that. And in Matthew 24, it talks about the last age. It talks prophetically about the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. It talks about all of the things that happened along there. It talks about if you flee to the mountains, it goes through that. But it also goes on and talks about the end of the age and the end of time. And the conclusion of the age when Christ actually returns to this earth. And it'll be like lightning, bang, every eye will see. Not a secret thing. Oh, gee, Jesus has come. Didn't notice that, did you? Oh, no, I don't know. There was two of us walking up. It's actually every eye will see. People will come. It's very clear in Scripture. Nothing secret about it. But it says in Matthew 24, the very passage that talks about the coming of Christ, as it says there, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Because of the increase in wickedness, you look at our earth and there's an incredible increase in wickedness. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's pretty scary, isn't it? People that have had love, that their love will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. Remember when Jesus is talking about the road, he says that it's a narrow road that leads to the kingdom of God, that leads to heaven. And only a few people are actually going to find that narrow road. And so it's scary when you look at this stuff. It says the increase, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Man, I don't want to be in the most that love is going to grow cold. I want my love for God to increase. I want to have a heart for him. I want the passion for God to continue to rise in my heart and my life. And so what do you want to do? Do you really want to grow this year? It'd be nice. Yeah, I want to. No, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to grow this year in God. Whatever it takes. And I trust that that's going to be your heart for this year, whatever it takes. But if you want to grow in God, I pray that there's three things that you're going to grab a hold of. Because if these things are built into your life, if these things are something that you know instinctively, these things that are written upon your heart, you haven't just memorized them, but it actually becomes a part of you. If these things are there, they're in your heart, you've got a hold of these things, you will grow. You will be in a place where you're going to grow if you grab a hold of these three things. And I quickly want to have a look at three things this morning. I just want to read a quote to you. This is by the great preacher A.W. Tozer. He says, I want to deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. Pastor Pat spoke about that around communion. I want to deliberately encourage this mighty longing after God. The lack of it has brought us to our present low estate. The stiff and wooden quality about our religious lives is as a result of our lack of holy desire. Now listen to this little phrase. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present, or there will be no manifestation of Christ to his people. He waits to be wanted. Too bad that within many of us he waits so long, so very long, in vain. But complacency is the deadly foe of all spiritual growth. And one of the things that we've got to get a heart of, grab something in our spirit, and that first thing I want us to grab a hold of is that his presence is captivating. Now, there's a lot of romanticism happens around, Valentine's Day. And there's some cards. You look for all of the cards there, and they're all lined up there, the ones that haven't been thrown and torn and half-eaten and all this stuff. And it's a lot of sentimentalism. Some stuff is very profound, very prophetic, poetic. And, some good stuff that people have written there, all kinds of stuff. But if you really want to know about a description of love, if you really want to be inspired, have a look at the book of Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs. Read through that. Don't read it now, but have a look through that, because that's the Lord's love song. It's his love story to the church about his bride, the precious bride, and the beautiful imagery, the words that are used in that about, I'm totally captivated by you, my lover. The word of captivation, desire and longing that are expressed so well in that book. One of the things that we have to have in our own heart is to know and understand that the presence of God, the intimacy with him, it is a captivating thing. Now, some of you that are a little bit older, if you remember back to when you first fell in love with your beloved and how intoxicated, how captivated you were with one another. And I love seeing younger couples just, on the phone all hours of the night, I'm not looking at anyone. People looking, I'm not. But just to see that and the preciousness of that, the heart in that, just a love that just is captivating, captures the attention, captures the thoughts, always in the back of the mind, always the thought. And as when you're in love, when you're married, and that continues to grow, actually, you think that's the most you're ever going to be in love, but actually it gets better and better. You grow more in love with your beloved. But if we understand that the presence of God is something so captivating, why do so people struggle when it comes to prayer and those things? And in some ways, yeah, prayer is a discipline because you have to make time and you have to decide to do about it. But it really isn't a chore. For some people, oh, I've got to pray. Okay, here I go. Grit the teeth. Pray. Here we go. And someone like that, to me, that's frustrating because it means that your heart is not captivated with your lover. To be in the presence of God, it just, the more that you're with God, the more that you love God. And the more time you spend with God, the more that you're going to love to be in his presence. The more that he totally captivates your heart. And see, it's not a struggle. Some things that some people have to do is grit your teeth sort of thing. But if there's something within your heart, you say, look, the presence of God, it's addictive, it's captivating. And to pray, to spend time with the Lord, to worship him, it's totally captivates your heart. And if you can grab a hold of that, no, it's not a chore. It's not a struggle. It's actually just the thrill of your heart. And when you're loving God, there's something that just happens within you because you're actually created and made to be a lover of God. That's what you're made for. And when you're actually doing that, what rises within you, it doesn't matter about your circumstances. when you're just in the Lord's presence, when you're just loving Him for who He is, when you're captivated by Him. You know, when you're desperately in love, all the other stuff, it just sort of falls away. You just want to spend time together. You're having a bad time at work or whatever's happened, doesn't matter. We're together. The whole rest of the world doesn't really matter when you're together. It doesn't matter what's happening out there because you're together. And when we're with the Lord, there's a dynamic that multiplies 100 times more so than our own human love and human emotion, the love of God in our lives. And so if we can build that into our heart, that we are captivated by Him. Psalm 42, it's beautiful. It says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. Can you say that? I encourage that in your heart, just to be hungry and thirsty for the things of God, longing for His presence. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to come to church because we're going to worship God together. I worship God at home and it's just wonderful because it's just me and it's God, but I long to be together to worship God. I long for His presence, a longing for Him. So a little picture we'll just stick up here. Many of you have seen this photograph, which has been in the newspaper. It's been in the newspaper evidently every day for about a week. It was in the newspaper. It's gone all over around the world. It's featured on the front page of the key London newspapers. It's gone all around the world, this picture of, I think it was Mr. Teed or Tweed. Or Tweed. With an R. Tweed. Okay, I thought it was Tweed. Tweed. Anyway, this man, he's famous, but even more famous is Sam, who's actually a girl, female Sam. But this little koala that he saw there, and there's actually the whole clip. You may have just seen the photo. I don't know if you've actually seen the video. It's a whole video clip of the whole thing, but you can watch that on the internet. But this little koala was actually just so thirsty. He didn't just have a little sip from the bottle. He drank three whole bottles of water. Man, he was just parched. She was just parched and just longing for that water. But how many of us are living our life, our Christian life like that? We're just waiting. Lord, we just want, in the presence, we just want a drink of You. Lord, I just want a little sip. Just don't want to wet my lips or wet the whistle, as they say. Lord, I just want to drink deeply of You in Your presence. And that's the kind of heart. If you have such a heart, you will grow. Because when you're in the presence of God, nothing will grow you any more better than being in the presence of God. You need, and hungry for Him, being hungry, thirsty after the things of God. There's a beautiful promise in Proverbs 8:17. It says, I love those who love Me, and those who seek Me find Me. So that's a promise of God. If you say, Lord, well, here I am. Here I am, Lord, and I don't know what I can bring, and I don't know what I can give, and I don't know what I can do, but Lord, here I am. And Lord, I just want to love You, and I just want to know of Your love, and Lord, I just want You to touch my heart this day. And if you come with such a heart, every time the Lord will touch your heart. So people who say, oh, look, I just feel like God is so far away, it's because you're approaching Him maybe with an intellectual understanding. Maybe you're not really opening your heart to Him. If you surrender your life to Him, then He'll so totally captivate your heart and you will be found. He's not a distant God. He's not a faraway God. You surrender your heart to Christ and you will know Him. I will be found. Those who seek Me will find Me. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. If you can build that more and more into your life, an understanding of the captivating presence of God. So when you pray, it's not a chore to pray. You're in love with your wife. It's not, oh dear, I have to spend some time with you. You love your wife. I want to spend time. A young couple, you know, that may be separated by time and distance because they're not married and they want to be with each other. And that's the heart that God wants us to have. And if we have that heart, all the other things that distract us suddenly begin to fall away. The temptations of sin and those things, yeah, they may be there, but they just fall away. Away because we are captivated by the lover. If you have that heart, then you will grow. You will grow this year, and I encourage that within you. Spend time with the Lord, and He will meet you. And however you have known the Lord, whatever depth that you've known that, there's a deeper expression of the love of God. None of us can say, I know God in all His intimacy and all the wonders of His love. None of us can say that, because the depths of his love are far beyond our comprehension, our understanding. But say, Lord, I just want to love you and to know your love. And the presence of God is so captivating. And I pray that that stirs more and more in your heart. Just remember that. His presence is captivating. It's addictive. You want more of God. You touch God. The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you taste of God, you want, I want more of God. I want more of him, and I want more of him. Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want to love you, and I want to know your heart. Remember, his presence is captivating. And the other thing I want us to grab hold of, it, his purpose is fulfilling. His purpose, the purpose that God has for your life, is the most fulfilling thing that could be in your whole life. His purpose is fulfilling. You want to live a full life, a happy life, a fulfilled life, then live your life according to the purpose of God. His purpose is fulfilling. Why? Because God not only made you to love you, he made you for a purpose. And therefore, if you're doing what the Maker has made you to do in that, you will not only excel, but also you will find incredible fulfillment in that. And so we want to fulfill the purpose of God. His purpose is fulfilling. Now, there's many things I can say about that, but one aspect I want to bring out, and that's the sense of our purpose that is fulfilled together. Ephesians 1, 18. Just read that scripture to you. It'll come up on the screen. But I want to read a little bit further than that. Ephesians 1, 18. It starts with a prayer. It says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. What's the hope he's called us to? When Jesus returns, or when we leave this earth, we have an eternal home in heaven secured. We don't fear death. We don't fear death. We're not afraid of dying. See, death for Christians, it doesn't really affect the Christian in a negative way. It does in that there's those that are behind and the sense of loss and the grief that they have. But for us, we have the promise of eternal glory. We're not afraid of that because of the promise that we have in Jesus Christ. We have that eternal hope. So I pray also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Where is his inheritance? Where is it? It's in the saints. So you have an inheritance in heaven. It tells us in 1 Peter, it said there's an inheritance in heaven, in God, that cannot perish, that no fire, no thief, nothing can touch. We have an inheritance that is kept in God and it's stored up. But we have an inheritance right now on this earth. And there is an inheritance that you have. Where do you find that inheritance? That inheritance is found in the saints. Let's read the rest of the passage. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You have a heritage. There is an inheritance that you have in this church. You have an inheritance here that God has for you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And I'm reading on from verse 19. It's not on the screen. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And so there's something about the church, and there's something about an inheritance that you have in the life of the church. There is an inheritance for you. If you want to be fulfilled in your life, fulfilled in the purpose that God has for you, remember, part of that fulfillment in life is an inheritance in the saints. There is a collective fulfillment of the destiny, of our destiny together, but your destiny in your life. Your personal destiny of your life is tied to other people. You will not fulfill the plan and purpose of God for your life in isolation. It will not happen. Ultimately, the plan and purpose of God for your life, the destiny of your life, the fulfillment of everything that God has made you to be, it's tied to other people. Your destiny is actually tied to other people. My destiny is actually affected by you. And in a sense, my future is in your hands in that sense. Our destinies are all joined together. We have an inheritance together in the saints. And so don't miss out on your inheritance in the saints. But don't cause someone else to have their inheritance diminished because you're not there or you're not being what God wants you to be, what he's made you to be. Together, your inheritance in the saints. So it's important that we put our roots down. Have your roots firmly down. You want to grow, you need to have your roots firmly down to grow. Your roots need to be down. You can't be transitional. You can't be here, there, and everywhere. You say, no, my roots are down because I have an inheritance in the saints. The purpose that God has for my life is fulfilling. Some people think, oh, what if God sends me to be a missionary in Africa? Well, if that is God's purpose for you in your life, there is nothing better, nothing more thrilling, nothing more fulfilling to be the missionary in Africa, is that's what God has made you for. If he hasn't made you for that, well, yeah, you're going to struggle. But whenever you're doing what God wants you to do, it is total fulfillment in that. And that can be expressed in many ways. It can be expressed in people going into business, people in serving, in many, many different ways. But if you're doing what God has made you to do, you will find incredible fulfillment in that. But always remember that your destiny is tied to other people. If you want to fulfill your destiny, you need to put your roots down and you need to be tied to other people, because together we fulfill the destiny that God has for us, but for your own life. Don't miss it. Have your roots down. We are tied together. And part of the approach to life, I've got three things written down there on your bookmark. Three words: beggar, bystander, or a builder. And you've got to, do I really want to grow? Then you're going to have to work out where you are. But really, you want to be in this last category, a builder. Three categories: beggar, bystander, or a builder. So some people live their Christian lives as beggars. They live their lives as victims. I am a victim. This is what has happened to me in my life. And I praise the Lord for Pastor Paddy can stand here and testify. She's not lived her life as a victim. She could have had every reason and every excuse to be a victim, but she found life in Christ and has found, lived her life in Christ, not as a victim of what happened in a difficult childhood and upbringing and circumstances of her life. She didn't choose to live as a beggar, but some people want to live as a beggar in their life and as a victim of their circumstances. Whatever happens, it's tragedy. Woe is me. The devil's always against me. The devil's always this. The devil is always that. Well, the devil might have a crack at you, but he can't really hurt you if you stand in who you are in Christ, if you stand in that. And some people, it's always, oh, woe is me, and go from one tragedy to the next, one circumstance to the next. Now, life happens to every person. People go for all sorts of things. The difference is whether you're a beggar, a bystander, or a builder, how those circumstances affect you. Because if you're standing as a child of God, someone who's caught of God, whatever we go through, we will stand strong and true. And it's great to hear some of these Christians that have lost everything in the fire. And hear this pastor on the radio, he lost members of his congregation in the fire. And just to be able to stand and say, you know, God, no, he is an awesome God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. And we're going to get through this because we have Christ within our heart. And they're just showing incredible love. It's a very powerful testimony. From a mainline church, this guy gave a very fantastic, wonderful testimony I heard on the radio. The fact that they spent all of the report, they're all talking about what is important in life. So people asking, what is really important in life? We've got a great opportunity for the gospel. But a beggar mentality is someone who, when they come to God, it's always on their knees and saying, Lord, please, Lord, please, 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 Lord, please, Lord, will you help me, Lord, please, always begging God. And that must grieve God's heart. I can just imagine when people are down just begging God for something, that must grieve the heart of God. And so I just imagine the Lord saying, bending down tenderly, because God's a compassionate, gracious God, and saying to someone who's just begging him, Lord, beg, 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 and saying, my child, don't you know me? Don't you even know me? Don't you know my heart? Why would you think that you have to beg of me? I am your gracious, loving Father. Do you not know me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know my heart for you? Don't you know my love for you, that I love you with a tenderness and a compassion? And I just see the Lord just saying that. It would grieve it, somebody being a beggar in the household of God, who doesn't know who they are, doesn't know what Christ has done for them, doesn't know what it is to stand in the power of the risen Christ, who doesn't know the heart of the Father, that we have to beg of him. And people come as a victim and as a beggar. And I'm sure that grieves the heart of God. We don't come to him as a beggar. We come to him as sons and daughters of the living God, one who loves us. And I just imagine him saying, don't you trust me in this? Because at the end of the day, when we're like that, we're just not really trusting God. Don't you trust me? Don't you trust who I am? Don't you trust my heart? We've got to trust God. We've got to believe God, believe him as his word. Don't be a beggar in the household of God. Beggars don't grow. You find that someone who has that victim mentality, it's just that they're always the same, always in a state of chaos, always in a state of calamity, always the same. Now, stuff happens to all of us, as I said. And you can never compare what one person's gone through with another person. You can't make a comparison. Oh, well, this is that, and I've lost this. And, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday who said, look, they had a house fire in Sunshine 30, 15 years ago. They lost everything in the fire. But they said, oh, but that's nothing compared to what these people have gone through. Well, none of their family perished, but they would have lost a lot. They lost everything in Sunshine. Didn't have to be in a bushfire zone. You can never compare that, and you can never judge someone and say, well, you're having a hard time. Well, what's a hard time to a person is a hard time to the person. And we all go through it. There is no blanket exemption that we're not going to go through hard times and struggles. The difference is, are you going to be a beggar in that, or are you going to be a builder in the situation you go through? If you say, oh, no, I'm not going to be a beggar, then I'm going to grow, actually. I will grow, because I'm not going to be a beggar. Some people are bystanders. You look at a definition of a bystander in the dictionary or in Carter, wherever you want to look it up. A bystander is somebody who is physically present, but who is not involved. They're physically present, but they're not involved. And so you can be a bystander as a Christian. You can be physically present. You can go to church every Sunday. You can go to a home group. You can go to everything. Go to every prayer meeting, everything you can ever think of, and still be a bystander. Because you're physically present, but you're not involved. And if you're a bystander, you're going to see wonderful things happening around you. Maybe say, wow, isn't that incredible? Look what God has done for them. Look what's happened for them over there. It'd be nice if it happened to me occasionally, but oh, isn't that good? Because you're a bystander, but you're not engaging your own spirit, your own heart, your own passion, your own desire, and you just watch it happen around you. You can be a bystander in the presence of the Almighty God, the presence of the Sovereign Lord. When we worship him, we are in the presence of the Sovereign Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you can be a beggar there. You can be a bystander. Gee, they're really getting into it. Gee, you wonder why it's not me. It's just nice. Yeah, they seem to be getting into it. Maybe because you've been a bystander. And you watch everything happen, but you haven't come to the point of saying, no, I'm not going to be a bystander. I'm going to engage my heart. Everything that is within me, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give you everything I've got, Lord. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to love you. But so many people can be bystanders, even in the household of God. And bystanders won't grow. Always the same as they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. Not the same, maybe a little bit different after 100 years, but you get the point. They won't grow. But God doesn't want us to be that. God wants you to be a builder. And a builder is someone who says, no, I'm actually here because I'm going to grow, but I'm going to make a difference, because the purposes of God in my life is where I find fulfillment. And so I am going to be a builder in the house of God. I'm going to be a builder, even more so, in the kingdom of God. I am going to be a builder. I'm not a beggar, I'm not a bystander, but I am actively involved. I'm actually looking for people who don't know Jesus, who don't really understand. They think the fires have been a tragedy, that they've happened. Well, for some people, wait until the end of their life. They want to see fire. They've not even had a hint of that. They're calling and saying it was like hell. Those bushfires are nothing like hell. They're a candle to hell. And so, but there are a lot of people who live their lives who don't know that. And so we're saying, no, I'm going to be a builder. I'm going to have a heart to reach out to people. One of the things we are going to do this morning, and I know we're running out of time this morning, but I want us to do the Book of Life prayer. In fact, maybe let's do that right now. Could we just hand out those sheets? I've already asked you last week to write down the names of people that you were going to be praying for to come into the kingdom of God. If you didn't bring your Book of Life prayer that you've given last week, if you didn't bring these with you today, just put your hand up if you haven't got them with you. Everyone's got to have one. So it doesn't matter if you haven't got yours, whatever. So if the stewards will give you one right now, let's just take some time right now to do this. So everybody needs to be holding two sheets of paper two sheets of paper. One of them has a room for a signature on the bottom. The one with the signature is what you keep. The one without the signature is the one that we will collect. So let's pull those two sheets out now. Everybody, pull them out. Okay. Put your hand up if you haven't got them, because we're going to do this right now. So everybody needs two sheets of paper. Not one, you need two sheets. Put your hand up high as the stewards run around. And what we're doing here is, it's one thing, it's if we're going to be builders, we're going to say, Lord, I want to see people coming into the kingdom of God. And that's our heart, having a heart beyond yourself. And I'm just going to read what it says here, just as these are coming out. Everybody needs two sheets, whether you're a young person, an older person, you need two of these sheets. And this is what we are doing. It says, my prayer is that the following people will come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Not just believe in God. The devil believes in God too. They have a personal relationship with personal Lord and Savior, so that their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's a scripture from Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and their books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. All whose names were not written in the Book of Life were thrown into the lake of fire. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. People who never gave their heart to Jesus Christ, who never came and said, I want to have Jesus in my life. At the end of the age, books are open, and there's a Book of Life, and only those people whose names are in that are the ones who will be with eternity. Everyone else, as I said, the bushfires is a candle to an eternal suffering. And so there are people that you know, people that you love, family members, there are workmates, there are people that you are related to, because God related you to them because he wants you to touch them. That's why. And so I don't want to get to the end of the age and find some family members who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and see the books are open and they're not there, and say, oh, hang on, I was their brother. I was their son. I was their aunt, uncle or auntie. Well, I wasn't their auntie, whatever I was. And to see these people come into the kingdom of God. So just take a moment with that. I'm just going to, hopefully you thought about it, because I asked you last Sunday to do this. And many of you have been prepared and have written those down because you're diligent, you're faithful. But if you forgot it and left it in somewhere else at home, that's fine, not a problem. But some names. You don't have to put six names. Don't put people you're not going to talk to. There's no point. Don't put someone you don't know. These are people that you know. You want to see their name in the Book of Life, because when all is said and done, that's all that really matters. That is all that really matters at the end of life, at the end of the age, those who give their life to Christ. That's all that matters at the end of the day. And there's a commitment. It says, I commit myself. And so I commit myself to pray for the following people whom I'm in personal relationship with, or have personal contact, so that they may have a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. So we're asking you to commit to pray for these people. If you're not going to pray for them, don't do it. Because if you really care for them, you will anyway. But if you're not going to commit yourself, don't do it. So they may have a personal relationship. I will be alert to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and seek opportunities to seek to share my faith. So you're not going to bash people up. People get sick to death of people flogging stuff down their throat. But you're just going to love them and let them know that there's a purpose for their life, that God loves them. And you really want to be with them in eternity. You don't want to see them miss out on that. You don't want to get to the end of the age and all the books are open and their name's not there. What a tragedy, what a travesty that would be. And so you write those names down there. If you don't have pens, there's the pens. The stewards have got pens. If you don't have a pen, you put your hand up if you need a pen. Write those names down. You don't have to put six names down. You don't have to put five. You can put one down. But we all know someone that God has placed us with, he wants to see in their kingdom. And there's an encouragement to this, that we're going to pray for boldness and courage to declare his word and for the opportunity to witness. Pray that the message is clear and understood. Pray that the message of your life does not betray the message of your mouth. It's great spouting off this stuff and you're not going to live it. They're going to think, well, where are you from? Pray that you may speak with a gracious heart and with gracious words. So if you've written those names down, write them down. Every person needs to do it. So grab one of those. There's two copies. You need to do it twice. The one with the signature is for you to keep. So if you're making this commitment today, you're saying, I'm going to be a builder, And I want to see people's names in the book of life. You just sign that. You're making your own commitment before God. You're not handing this in to me or to anyone else. This is between you and God. But this one, we would like you to hand the one without a signature, the one that says, hand this section in, the side that says, hand it in, hand that one in, because we compile those and we put them in a book, which we're going to do a little nicer than this. But in the book of life, we put all the names there. And as a church, we pray for these people by name that they will come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to hand that other section in. Make that commitment, and we can pile those together. Has everybody done that? Now, you've had a whole week to pray about it, so I'm not asking you just to think up something on the spot. You've had a chance to pray about it, to think about it. People that you work with, people that you know, and we're just going to pray for those people together. Let's be a builder of the kingdom of God. Okay, so everyone, hopefully you've got those down on the sheet. When you know, if the one that you keep has the signature on it, the one you hand in just says hand it in, sort of blank down the bottom. That's the one you hand in. We're not going to put your name there. We're just going to list these people's names so we can pray for them. We know they're people that you know in personal relationship. So you can give the hand in section to the stewards so you can hand those in. They collect those. There you go. Thank you. And once you've done that, I want you to get the other section. So if you've got one to hand in, hold it up high. If some of you bring some next week, then you can do it then too. But every one of us, I'm sure we have family members, people we know, that when we stand before the Father and the books are open, we want to be there. But we want others to be there too. We want these people to be there. That's what it's about. And maybe God puts you in the family that you're in. Maybe he puts you in the house that you're in, the group of units that you're in. Maybe God related you to people because you're the one to show them the reality of Christ. And so that's our prayer. Once you've done that, let's hold up these ones, these other ones with the ones with the date down the bottom and the signature. Hold those ones up. Hold up your other sheet. All right, we've collected the hand-in ones. We're just going to pray over these ones. So the one that you're keeping now, hold up the one that you're keeping, the one that's signed, because you're making that commitment yourself before God, not to me, not to anyone else. You're saying to God, yeah, I really want to see these people in your kingdom. Let's hold these up, and we're going to commit these to prayer. Father, these names that we've written down, Father, we've written them down, Lord, because we care about these people. Lord, it's not out of a sense of obligation, but Lord, it's out of a sense of love for these people. Lord, we want to see them in your kingdom. Lord, when the books are opened at the end of the age and all is said and done, Lord, we want to see these people in eternity with us, Lord, to enjoy your presence forever. And Lord, and not to be in suffering and torment, Lord, for having not known you, for turning away from you. So, Father, we commit these people. Lord, we say, Lord, we're going to pray for these people. We're committing ourselves to pray for these people. And Lord, that we will see them come into the kingdom of God. Lord, we're committing ourselves that we will talk to these people. Lord, we're not going to be praying for someone else or something else, but Lord, we're going to be obedient, sensitive to your spirit, sensitive to the person, and Lord, look for ways of graciously, gently, lovingly, letting them know of the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to this task. And Lord, we commit these people into your hands and your care. And Father, we pray that we'll see these loved ones, Lord, to know you and, Lord, to be in your eternal kingdom. Lord, we pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I encourage you, don't forget that. Put it in the front of your Bible. We're just going to, a couple more things just before we close off this morning. But let's not be beggars. Let's not be bystanders. Let's be builders who are sowing the heart of God, but also are serving in the house of God, who realizing that the only way you're ever going to be fulfilled in God is that we have a destiny that is tied together. The inheritance is in the saints together. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all the other stuff, everything else that you need, all of those things will be given to you. Put God first in your life. Everything of your life directed to the kingdom of God. Seek him first and everything else that you have. Everything else you need, You need things. You need a job. You need to work. You need to eat. You need all the things that you need. But you put God first, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else, all other things, will be given unto you. Final thing I want us to grab a hold of. So you know that his presence is captivating. Just the more that you spend time with God, the more you're going to grow. His purpose is fulfilling. You begin to walk and stand in the purposes of God, what he's called you to do, you're going to grow because you're made for that. What you were made for, you're going to grow in. Some people struggle because they're doing stuff that they're not made to do. You do what God has made you to do and you're going to thrive and be thrilled. And the final point is that his people are precious. Get a hold of the fact that people are precious. And if you have a heart for people, you'll also grow. His people are precious. Ephesians 5, 1-2, it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So the difference, a builder is someone who knows sacrifice. A bystander, don't talk to me about sacrifice. I've got enough on my plate, thanks, Charlie. I'm busy enough. Don't you talk to me about sacrifice. You want sacrifice? Bystander. Happen around me. But a builder is someone who knows sacrifice, who's not afraid of sacrifice. Say, no, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm standing in the place of sacrifice. Yes, it's going to hurt me. It's going to cost me. But ultimately, it will fill me. It will thrill me. It'll be everything that God has made me to be. But you have that heart, someone that is a builder. And you will sacrifice for other people. You will put yourself out, not convenient, not comfortable, but sacrifice. The place of sacrifice is so important. People who are prepared to sacrifice are the people who grow. If you're realistically not prepared to sacrifice for the kingdom of God, you're not going to grow. Growth is found in sacrifice. Unless a seed dies in the ground, unless the seed dies, then it will not grow, the scripture says. And so if you're not going to stand in the place of sacrifice, you won't grow. But if you will, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice myself, my comforts, my conveniences, my desire, the stuff that maybe would be nice to have, and I'm going to make some sacrifices, then I'm going to grow in the things of God. And I have a heart because people are precious. Live a life of love, just as Christ gave himself up. And if you grab a hold of those three concepts, that the presence of God is captivating. Spend time in the presence of God and he will captivate your heart. Seek me and you will find me. What amazing thing it is to have the creator of heaven and earth himself to come to you and to love you intimately. What an awesome thing. And the purpose that God has for your life is fulfilling, but our destiny is tied together. You've got to put your roots down if you're going to grow. Your roots have got to be solid. If you want to grow, don't be a beggar. You're a son and daughter of the living God. Don't be a bystander. I was there, but it just happened around me. Now, I'm a builder. I have a heart for people. I have a heart for the kingdom of God. And I'm not afraid of sacrifice. Don't be afraid to make the sacrifice. You put your roots down, you sacrifice, but there's also a reward that also will come unto you. God rewards that. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. So we think we're making a sacrifice, well, I'm going to give up this. You're not really giving up anything. You're actually gaining a tremendous amount. Sometimes we count the cost of the sacrifice, but whatever the benefit that God gives us, the growth that he causes within us, the expansion of our heart, the things that God does, the blessing that he gives in unexpected ways, you're actually not diminished. You're actually increased incredibly. You actually grow. Sacrifice will make you grow. And so I encourage you tonight, let's just stand to our feet. We're going to make a little declaration together. We didn't do this last week. We're pressed for time this week. Many things that are happening. But I had many, many people come to me last week and say, what happened to the declaration that we make? What about our church declaration? We didn't do that last week. But I want to do it this week. Because you're saying, Lord, yeah, would you be nice? And I'm going to do whatever it takes to grow this year. Lord, I'm going to be captivated by you and your presence. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to do the grow daily that we gave out last week. I am actually going to read your word. I am actually going to pray. I'm actually going to worship you. I'm actually going to do that this year. I'm going to grow daily. I'm going to allow those things to happen in my life. I'm going to be a builder this year. But there's a statement that we have, a declaration. If you've got this from last week, trust you'll keep that in your Bible. Put it in the front of your Bible. Hope you didn't take it home and lose it, keep this in your Bible. There's a declaration that's going to come on the screen, but if you can't read the screen for whatever reason, you can read this declaration. And it's a statement that we make together. And it starts off acknowledging, I have one life to live. You got one crack at it, guys. What are you going to say when you get to 70? Are you going to finish well and still be on the up? Or are you going to crawl into a little hole and say, all my regrets? And even if you are 70 now, and even if you have some regrets, well, you're not dead yet. And you still can find life in Christ, and you can still grow and in the things of God. But let's make this statement. We're going to read this together. So I'm not going to say it, and then you repeat after me. We're going to read this and say it together. So shout it out. This is a declaration that we make together as a church. So say it with me. One, two, three. I have one life to live, and I will live my life to glorify God. I will not waste this life by living in the past through empty living, petty thinking, hurtful resenting, or faithless worrying. I have given my life to Christ, and so I determine to live my life to please God and not myself. I will do this every day in all I do, walking closely with Jesus. Next slide. I will honor and love the church family the Lord has placed me in. I'm going to be loving, forgiving, and generous. I will serve with a glad heart to help us become all God wants us to be. I know that God has given me a job to do, and I am going to do it without excuses or compromise. I'm going to do the best I can with what I have for Jesus Christ today. I stand as someone made new through Jesus Christ. I have experienced his transforming power in my life. I will not go back to the old life. I'm not going to back down or give up when times are tough. I'm not just a hearer of God's word, but I am a doer. I am growing to be more and more like Jesus. I will not be selfish in what the Lord has given me, but I will share with others the great love that God has shown me in Jesus. From this day, I will see others as people that Jesus died for, and with compassion, do all I can to lead them to Jesus by my words and by my life. I am moving forward today as a spirit-empowered believer who is not going to be bullied by the devil. Problems and temptation will not overcome me. I will not be diverted from the race God has given me to run. My eyes are firmly on Jesus. To my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I say, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer in advance is yes. Wherever you lead me, and whatever the cost, I'm ready. Anytime, anywhere, anyway, whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, I want to be used by you in such a way that on the final day, I'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in and let the eternal party begin. Father, we just commit these words to you. Father, I pray, Lord, that these are just not words that we're parroting, but Father, there's something of a determination in our heart, Lord, that we're saying, Lord, we are going to grow in you, Lord. There's the desire to grow in you. And Lord, we are going to intentionally, deliberately make the choices that we need to make, Lord, that we're going to stand in the place of sacrifice, Lord, that we're going to die to ourselves, Lord, that you might increase, and Lord, that we might grow to be everything that you have made us to be. So, Father, that is our prayer this day. Lord, let that desire to grow. Lord, let us be captivated by your presence. Lord, to know the joy and the pleasure, the thrill of being loved of you, of being with you, Lord, and just spending time with you, Father. To know, Lord, that your plan and purpose for our life is fulfilling, Lord. Only there do we find fulfilling. Lord, stir that in our hearts. Father, let us not be beggars or bystanders, but let us be builders. Lord, who have a heart for your kingdom, Lord, who live for kingdom purpose. Lord, and we're not islands, but Lord, our destinies are tied together. Help us to have our roots down here in this place, but more than that, in you, Lord, deeply in you, Lord. Let our roots be down, and Father, let us have a heart for people, Lord, because people do matter. People are precious, Lord. They are important, Lord. Stir that in our hearts. But Lord, let us stand this day, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that we are going to grow this year. Lord, we're Grow Church. And Lord, we are going to grow because of who you are and because you called us to be. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to your purpose. And Father, I pray for every person here this day, for your blessing to be unlocked upon their life. Lord, if there's anyone that is here today who has never actually said, I want Jesus in my life, has never asked for Jesus to come into their life, Lord, give them the courage to come and ask and say, I need that. I want my name in that book. I don't want to be in the other place. I want to be in the eternal party. I want to be with my family who love Jesus Christ. Lord, if anyone who doesn't know Jesus today, Lord, give them the courage to come and ask, Lord, that we might pray with them, and Lord, that they might know you. But Father, I thank you this day, for you're a mighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're